Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is Merle with Merle, and I'm your host, Merle Exit. Okay, it's 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. The sun has set. It's a little warmer than usual. I guess it hit about 50 degrees today, thank goodness. And I'm in New York City. And we got an interesting, well, all my shows are interesting, but I try to make them interesting. I'll tell you what I got. The first thing is I received some Broadway show, well, not remakes, I guess like some of the original cast recordings of the shows, of specifically Rodgers and Hammerstein. And so I have Oklahoma, Carousel, and then there was one that's called Richard Rodgers, like, conducts some songs. So those will be definite, just music minus lyrics. And then I have, I'm also going to probably talk about the Green Products show that I went to yesterday. Good stuff. I will be having people come on specifically to chat, including later on in the show, Reem Rahman. That's her name, R-E-E-M, Rahim. I'm sorry, no, is it Reem? No, I think it's Neem. I think I spelled it wrong, Neem. Anyway, yes, Neem. I just spelled it wrong here. And what I'm going to talk about is a tea called Numi, N-U-M-I. And what does that have to do with being green? But the discussion is, what is tea? What is tisane? What is herbal tea? What is the difference? And what the heck is this new tea called Pure? I could be pronouncing it wrong. Heck, I got the name wrong. I pronounced. Okay, and then also, now this is going to be very difficult for me. So I have to really think about attending the upcoming International Restaurant and Food Service Show. Well, we'll hear about the food and the trends from Ron Matthews, who's put this thing together. It's an annual event. I mean, like, it's just like you keep just walking around constantly and tasting all kinds of foods. And while I'm on Nutrisystem, I have to think about, can I do it? And if I do it, how do I get away with not, you know, stuffing myself? And I will report on that. If I do decide to go, I'll report on that next week. And so what I'd like to begin with is the show Oklahoma. Now, this is from 1952. This is a studio cast recording from 1952, of which they have, at the time, and I'm sure, I don't know if anybody's heard of Nelson Eddy. I mean, you have to be either really into show business or old to know who Nelson Eddy is. And this is Nelson Eddy, who's singing the song, Oh, What a Beautiful Morning. So here we are. We're going to get some beautiful days here. I'm looking forward to it so I can go running around outside and walking. No, let's not run. Not ready to run. I lost 15 pounds, but not ready to run yet. Okay. And so let's see. So the look at that. I just got an email to remind me that my show is going to start in 3 minutes. Better late than never. So the next one that I have, now this is pretty cool. I didn't even know. Kay Ballard, wow. Kay Ballard was in it, and she played Addo Annie. And here's the song that one of the big songs from the show, and it's called I Can't Say No. I can't, and that's my problem with chalk.
It ain't so much a question of not knowing what to do. I know what's right and wrong since I've been 10. I heard a lot of stories, and I reckon they are true, about how girls are put upon by men. I know I mustn't fall into the pit, but but when I'm with a feller, I forget. I'm just a girl who can't say no. I'm in a terrible fix. I always say, come on, let's go, just when I ought to say nix. When a person tries to kiss a girl, I know she ought to give his face a smack. But as soon as someone kisses me, I somehow sort of want to kiss him back. I'm just a fool when lights are low. I can't be prissy and quaint. I ain't the type that can paint. How can I be what I ain't? I can't say no. What you gonna do when a fella gets flirty, starts to talk pretty? What you gonna do? Supposing that he says that your lips are like cherries, roses, or berries, what you gonna do? Supposing that he says that you're sweeter and cream, and he's gotta have cream or die. What you gonna do when he talks that away? Spit in his eye? I'm just a girl who can't say no, can't seem to say it at all. When he is paying a call, for a while I act refined and cool, a sitting on the velvet with a tea, and I think of that old golden rule and do for him what he would do for me. I can't resist a Romeo in a sombrero and chef. Soon as I sit on their lap, something inside of me favorite food. With or without the mistletoe, I'm in a holiday mood. Other girls are coy and hard to catch, but other girls ain't having any fun. Every time I lose a wrestling match, I have a funny feeling that I won. Though I can feel the undertow, I never make a complaint. Till it's too late for restraint, then when I want to, I can't say no.
Yep. Now, this one here, going to the show Carousel. On the show Carousel, let's see, this is, what year is this? This is 1965, Carousel. And this is the revival cast at the time. And in the cast is John Raitt, who is Bonnie Raitt's father. And you'll all recognize this song, I'm sure.
When you walk through a storm, hold your head up high, and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of the storm is a
I have to stop this. I don't want you to think that John Raitt can sing that. I'm sorry, that's not John Raitt. This is a song. Catherine Hingelberg is the person that's singing this song. So let's go back to this from the beginning.
When you walk through a storm, hold your head.
Okay, so this fine print, I did read it very good, very well. But John Raitt, okay. The question is, does John Raitt? This is the song that John Raitt sang, and he's singing this with Eileen Christie, who I guess because of the age of the show, is not somebody I know either. I'm not that old, so but his song, If I Love You. I'm not sure whether this was before or after he did, there was an off-Broadway show, I'll think of it, but this is way back. The song, I don't remember the song, but it's called Blow High, Blow Low.
Blow high, blow low, away then
we'll
go.
Oh, yeah, I know that song.
We'll go away then, the sailing away, away.
People who live on land are hard to understand. When you're looking for fun, they clap you into jail. So I'm shipping off to sea, where life is gay and free, and a feller can flip a hook in the hip of a whale.
Blow high, blow low, a whale and we will
many a long, long day. For many and many a long, long day.
A rockin' upon the sea, your boat will seem to be like a dear little baby in her bassinet. For she hasn't learned to walk, and she hasn't learned to talk, and her little behind is kinda inclined to be wet.
But oh, I go low, away that we will go. We'll go away, then a sailing away. Away we'll go, blow me high and low, for many and many a long, long day. For many and many a long, long day.
Well, I want to get this in now. It's a bit long, but I happen to like this one. This is Rodgers and Hammerstein. Richard Rodgers conducting Slaughter on 10th Street.
Thank you.
For the caller to call in. I may be able to get the other one later on, but I want to tell you, here's one of the things, an email that I got from somebody. Okay, better than a flu shot, it's called. Miss Beatrice, the church organist, was in her 80s and had never been married. She was admired for her sweetness and kindness to all. One afternoon, the pastor came to call on her, and she showed him into her quaint sitting room. She invited him to have a seat while she prepared tea, not Numi tea, by the way. As he sat facing her old Hammond organ, the young minister noticed a cute glass bowl sitting on top of it. The bowl was filled with water, and in the water floated, of all things, a condom. When she returned with tea and scones, they began to chat. The pastor tried to stifle his curiosity about the bowl of water and its strange floater, but soon it got the better of him, and he could no longer resist. "Miss Beatrice," he said, "I wonder if you would tell me about this," pointing to the bowl. "Oh, yes," she replied. "Isn't it wonderful? I was walking through the park a few months ago, and I found this little package on the ground. The direction said to place it on the organ, keep it wet, and that it would prevent the spread of disease. Do you know, I haven't had the flu all winter." Well, I guess that's one way, huh? Okie doke. Maybe not as fun. And let's see. Well, I have another one. Okay. Let me read you this one. This is a little lengthy, but really cute. Okay. This has to do with Dave Barry's, this is the book, says Dave Barry's Colonoscopy Journal. It's from my friend Enid. "I called my friend Andy Sable, a gastroenterologist, to make an appointment for a colonoscopy. A few days later in his office, Andy showed me a color diagram of the colon, a lengthy organ that appears to go all over the place, at one point passing briefly through Minneapolis. Then Andy explained the colonoscopy procedure to me in a thorough, reassuring, and patient manner. I nodded thoughtfully, but I didn't really hear anything he said because my brain was shrieking, quote, "He's going to stick a tube 17,000 feet up your behind." I left Andy's office with some written instructions and a prescription for a product called MovaPrep, which comes in a box large enough to hold a microwave oven. I will discuss MovaPrep in detail later. For now, suffice it to say that we must never allow it to fall into the hands of America's enemies. I spent the next several days productively sitting around being nervous. Then on the day before my colonoscopy, I began my preparation. In accordance with my instructions, I didn't eat any solid food that day. All I had was chicken broth, which is basically water, only with less flavor. Then in the evening, I took the MovaPrep. You mix two packets of powder together in 1 liter plastic jug, then you fill it with lukewarm water. For those unfamiliar with the metric system, a liter is about 32 gallons. Then you have to drink the whole jug. This takes about an hour because MovaPrep tastes, and here I am being kind, like a mixture of goat spit and urinal cleanser with just a hint of lemon. The instructions for MovaPrep, clearly written by somebody with a great sense of humor, state that after you drink it, a loose, watery bowel movement may result. This is kind of like saying that after you jump off your roof, you may experience contact with the ground. MovaPrep is a nuclear laxative. I don't want to be too graphic here, but have you ever seen a space shuttle launch? This is pretty much the MovaPrep experience with you as the shuttle. There are times when you wish the commode had a seatbelt. You spend several hours pretty much confined to the bathroom, spurting violently. You eliminate everything, and then when you figure you must be totally empty, you have to drink another liter of MovaPrep, at which point, as far as I could tell, your bowels travel into the future and start eliminating food that you have not even eaten yet. After an action-packed evening, I finally got to sleep. The next morning, my wife drove me to the clinic. I was very nervous. Not only was I worried about the procedure, but I had been experiencing occasional return bouts of MovaPrep spurtage. I was thinking, what if I spurt on Andy? How do you apologize to a friend for something like that? Flowers would not be enough. At the clinic, I had to sign many forms acknowledging that I understood and totally agreed with whatever the heck the form reads. Then they led me to a full room of other colonoscopy people where I went inside a little curtain space and took off my clothes and put on one of those hospital garments designed by sadist perverts, the kind that when you put it on makes you feel even more naked than when you actually are naked. Then a nurse named Eddie put a little needle in my vein in my left hand. Ordinarily, I would have fainted, but Eddie was very good, and I was already lying down. Eddie also told me that some people put vodka in their MovaPrep. At first, I was ticked off that I hadn't thought of that. But then I pondered what would happen if you got yourself too tipsy to make it to the bathroom, so you were staggering around a full fire hose mode. You would have no choice but to burn your house. When everything was ready, Eddie wheeled me into the procedure room, where Andy was waiting with a nurse and an anesthesiologist. I did not see the 17,000-foot tube, but I knew Nandy had it hidden around there somewhere. I was seriously nervous at this point. Andy had me roll over on my left side, and the anesthesiologist began hooking something up to the needle in my hand. There was music playing in the room. All I realized that the song was Dancing Queen by ABBA. This is in the email. I remarked to Andy that of all songs that could be playing during the particular procedure, Dancing Queen had to be the least appropriate. "You want me to turn it up?" said Andy from somewhere behind me. I said, and then it was time, the moment I had been dreading for more than a decade. "If you are squeamish, prepare yourself, because I'm going to tell you in explicit detail exactly what it was like." I have no idea. Really, I slept through it. One moment, ABBA was yelling, Dancing Queen, Feel the Beat of the Tambourine, and the next moment, I was back in the other room, waking up in a very mellow mood. Andy was looking down at me and asked me how I felt. I felt excellent. I felt even more excellent when Andy told me that it was all over and that my colon had passed with flying colors. I have never been prouder of an internal organ. Okay. Well, it doesn't say not to get a, you know, they suggest you still get a colonoscopy anyway. I don't know that I would really want to do that. still waiting, and let's cut to, where's my favorite commercial, because I can't have any now. What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies, and that's no fairy tale. Well, I will make sure that I do have some chocolate for dessert. There's a lot of chocolate things on Nutrisystem. We're still waiting. Not sure, you know, I gave the phone number or whatever. So let me get to talking about some of the items, the things that I saw at the Green Products Expo. So in other words, this is, yeah, well, you go. You got what all the green is about. Well, now here's an interesting one. Everything's interesting to me. I got to find a word that's better than interesting. Well, you know, that or awesome, you know. Okay. 360 degrees vodka. All right. So now the vodka, I didn't taste it yet, but I have it. And it looks, it's supposed to be like distilled or whatever four times. Or, but the thing about it is it's supposed to be, it's not a cheap vodka. And the thing about it is the bottle is recycled bottle. So it's got that kind of like greenish color looking bottle. So it looks kind of plain. It's nice. When I get to tasting, I'll let you know. They say it's as smooth as what is that goose one? Green goose or whatever goose. Whoever got goosed. All right. Now, here's what I thought. This is something I'm not too clear on. It's called sensor plug. And supposedly you plug it into your electric outlet. And it's a motion sensing product. So it'll automatically turn on and off lighting as well as non-lighting electrical products. Now, the thing I want to find out about it is, I mean, it can't turn on the switch. I don't think. I can't. I don't. I'm not sure I understand. So it's like, don't you have to, like, leave the electricity on, like, I don't know. Do you know what I mean? Some electric current has to be going through for it to just turn on. But I don't know. I'll try this with a lamp. So I have things that, like, kind of click on and things, whatever. All right, so there's a couple of companies having to do with the paint that doesn't stink. I will try that, too. I will have someone come on. We're talking about brown bagging it. I will be talking with some of the folks. In other words, all the things I'll get are brown in color, actually. There are all these different type of material-type bags that you take to your grocery store so that you don't have to bring home any plastic, and stuff like that. I had a really weird incident. I went to, I was at Stop and Shit. And so I said to the woman, can I have, do you have any paper bags? She said, yes. So she put my stuff in a paper bag and then proceeded to take the paper bag and put it in a plastic bag. And I said, but that was the point, I'd want plastic. She kind of looked at me like I was weird. And I found out later that she has to do this because this way I'd be able to take the bag with me to my car. It would have handles on it. Okay. So I don't know what they're going to do when plastic is no longer allowed. Let's see. What else? I'll tell you some stuff that I got to try. It was also Delta Faucet, all kinds of things with Faucet. Oh, here was a good one. I like this one. Echover. You know, Echover. And they make, well, it says that they're making ecological car wash and wax and stuff like that. What I did get to take home is a sample of their dishwashing detergent, and I tried it today. Oh, it's great. I got to really go after them. I want more. It smelled nice. It made lots of bubbles and cleaned my dishes. Then we have EcoSmart products. This one is called Auspen, A-U-S-P-E-N. They have these dry erase markers, and the green thing about it is not only the recycled materials, but they have the ink is non-toxic, and you can put ink into these things. So instead of usually markers, they dry up, and that's the end of that. But this, you can refill it with the ink. And by the way, I was right the first place. It is, her name is Reem, R-E-E-M. I guess, I was looking on my notes. I don't read my notes before I go on the air. That's the trouble. Equal Exchange. They were pushing their organic 80% Panama extra dark chocolate bar. That was the thing they were pushing. But they had all other kinds of products. All kinds of goodies that are fair trade, equal exchange, suitable farming practices, et cetera, et cetera. I don't have a dog, so I haven't tried the next one. Flush puppies, yes. They're dog duty bags that are 100% biodegradable and uniquely flushable, so you can flush them away with the duty. No shit. Could come by our table to see a demonstration and meet the inventors? I was at the table. I didn't see any dog take a shit and then have them clean up and flush it away, so I'm not sure what they were talking about. Okay. Then I had, here was one, a company that sells Green Veranda, and they sell like handbags and accessories made from recycled newspaper. That was kind of cool. It's kind of fashionable stuff. I don't know what they're going to send me. Now I know what to do with my newspapers. Don't know what's happening with my caller. Let's see something. I did have somebody call in. I saw a phone number calling in, so I know it's kind of working. I don't know. Maybe he forgot. Who knows? And what else was this here? Hewlett Packard was there. Let's see. Little Cola, Maine cloth diapers. One here. All right. Nature Cast. That's Eco Fashionable Jewelry Collections. And what were they made from? They're made from it says jewelry collection introduced include a new line of bangle bracelets, earrings and necklaces, home accessories. The product components are biodegradable and recyclable. And I remember what they were saying. They have a collection including wall art made from agroforest debris, such as twigs, bark, and leaves. You can have a whole rainforest in your home. And speaking of rainforest, now, yeah, this I really like. The company, I'll have them on, definitely. It's Save the World, Save Your Hair, Color Safe Products. It's certified organic ingredients include yerba mate and aloe. Rather get into the whole thing. What they have, they had products for your hair, to wash your hair, soaps, lotions. I'm throwing stuff out because I love this stuff. I'm having them on to talk about this. One of the lotions has such, not sure what the combinations are that's in this that make it smell the way it does. But it's Boss. Yeah. Soda Club. I'm going to have them on. Soda Club Incorporated. Now, this is really, for times of economic crisis, so for people who are drinking soda, whether it's diet or non-diet sodas, it takes, it's under 30 seconds. It's a... You can take your tap water if you want and turn it into just sparkling water, and then you're adding all the different flavors to it. Wow! I mean, there's just about name it, and they have it, as I said, in both diet and non-diet flavors. I'll have them on to talk about the whole thing as well. And then Tom's of Maine was there with their products, and I'll have somebody, we're going to talk about the whole thing about dentistry and why these products are good and what's in other products, like when you brush your teeth, etc. True Green Enterprises, I haven't tried it yet, custom design True Green laundry washing balls. Reduce water and energy consumption while saving the average family doing 7 loads of wash per week. Okay. That saves them approximately $200 every 6 months in laundry products, such as detergents and softeners, dryer sheets, bleaches. Well, haven't tried it, but I have a couple of balls, and everybody tells me that anyway. And, one is for the dryer and one's for the washing machine. So I'm going to test it out and see how the clothes come out. I will have somebody on to talk about it because I'm wondering what's in these things that does that. And there was more stuff, but now Sweet Leaf Sweetener. Now, I got this thing called Pervia. Now, everything is, it's from South America, made from this, from a plant, stevia, I think it's called. And I didn't really care for it. So I have a couple of this Sweet Leaf Sweetener, and I'm going to try it out and see how it tastes. I think for people who like artificial sweeteners, this is probably good because it's sometimes even sweeter than sugar, you know what I mean? Yeah. And salt. And by the way, I did get this other CD, Richard Rodgers and Hammerstein. And the play is called Allegro. I mean, I asked one of my friends who's really into Broadway shows. My friend Mary Ellen directs community theater, and they always do musicals. And I even asked her, and she said she doesn't know one song from the show Allegro. I'll play the entire thing. No, not now. I'll play the entire thing at some point and listen to it and see if I even, like, recognize any of the songs. I looked at the list of songs and I went, none of them sound familiar to me at all. So, all right. So, I don't know what happened. I hope my other caller calls in. But in the meantime, let's hear... I'm up for hearing. Where's my friend here? Yeah, let's hear something like cool and loud, and so I can wake you all up. Wake up.
Take another.
All right. I hope everybody woke up from that one. Yeah, it's hard when you're expecting somebody to call in and then you got to kill a half an hour because they, you know, took up the time slot. So now I'm awaiting Reem Rahim from Numi T to be calling in. And I have a cup of tea sitting right with me. So when she calls in, I'll be drinking this pure tea while she talks about it. And, all right, should I tell? Nah, I don't want to do a commercial. I don't know if I talk, tell the, let me see if I can get this thing here. I got to tell you what happened. This is only in New York, only in New York City. I got this on my, I put this up on my blog site. But I wanted, this is, okay. So, you know, this is, I did put this also in the newspaper. So, trashing, sanitation. Flyers hanging on your doorknob, attached to the railing of your stairs, on the stoop, on the lawn. Good grief. Sanitation tells me that I'm responsible for recycling the paper litter that is placed on my property, or I will receive a fine. Oh, yes, I have gotten fined for dumping the plastic bag of flyers in my regular garbage. They will even go through my regular garbage to see if these flyers are there. Not only do I have to recycle these unwanted advertisements, but also separate the plastic bag from the papers. Has the city come up with a solution to the littering? Oh, sure. They passed a law which states that you must post a sign which is not less than 5 inches by 7 inches in size and which states in legible letters at least 1 inch in size, do not place unsolicited advertising materials on this property. Has this made a difference? I have two signs side by side sitting in my front window. Just this morning alone, I opened my door to find a flyer on the doorknob and a bag of flyers on the stoop. But let's go back to last week when I received two dreadful bags. There must be some assumption that I have someone living in my basement, as bags are now placed sort of between my property and my next-door neighbors. There is a lot of shared, there's a set of shared stairs that leads to our basement door. As if the bags of circulars weren't enough, there were a few things from local stores attached to my stairs and two more things placed in my mail slot. I first called the local post office to report this offense. Yes, it is a federal offense to put anything through a mail slot or even in your mailbox if it doesn't have postage. After providing the names of the companies, the post office requested that I place them in an envelope with a note to the postman to bring it in. Easy, no cost to me. I hope they follow through. I now call 311 for assistance. They basically do no more than take down my name, address, etc. to send me a form to fill out. I could have done this online. I asked for the phone number of the sanitation department to report this and told that they were not allowed to give out that number. I have yet to receive the form. So I went online and printed one out. Here is what line number 6 states. On -2000-@-AM/PM, I personally observed on my property unsolicited advertising materials, parentheses, describes specific location of where material was found, in the form of, parentheses, menu, pamphlet, bag of flyers, etc., and which contains the name of blank on such written solicitation. Here is what line number 7 states. I have attached the original unsolicited advertising material to this complaint form in its entirety, and it's in original form, including any materials that were packaged together, unquote. I did finally get to talk to the Operations Department of Sanitation, who said that it was my responsibility to pay for the postage, one form, for each advertiser. I called VA Distributions regarding the flyer bags. The manager was not available. I told the person whom I did speak with about the law and that I intended to make it a point to have a fine imposed on them. She asked my address. I said, what difference does that make? It's your responsibility to abide by the law and tell your staff to look for the signs. I asked for their address, and they gave me a post office box in Elmwood, New Jersey. After the morning's delivery and lots of insistence, I was given the phone number of enforcement. I wanted someone from the sanitation department to come to my home, view the crap, take notes, and do their job. I spoke with Lieutenant Diaz and told that I had to go along with what the form stated and they cannot have someone go to my house. He blamed the city council for passing the law. I asked him about my having to fork over money for the postage and told that he gets boxes of these advertisements each day. Now, doesn't it make you wonder if they are actually fining these people? I mean, if they were, don't you think the companies, especially distribution ones, would make a point of checking to see if they were in violation? If fines are being imposed, are they paying? Think of how much revenue the city can receive if the fines were not only imposed but also collected. Considering the amount of negligence, we may be able to keep both of the Queens hospitals open. My last straw was calling my council person. My call from her was never returned due to a busy schedule, but gave me a telephone appointment in March. Kathy, the person I spoke with, asked for my address. She said that she lived nearby and knows the guy who does the deliveries, suggesting that she would tell him not to drop off the garbage. He walks around with headphones and obviously does not make any attempt to see if there are any signs. I said that I wanted to say anything to him, asking if she would interfere in my behalf if I were given a fine for littering. She just didn't get it. Instead of allowing the wrongdoers to deal with the consequences, she thought she was doing me a favor. One more insult to add. If the culprit pleads not guilty, you have to take your butt to a hearing with the ECB. And, quote, in some cases, the ALJ may need to adjourn the matter to a future date. This will require you to come back. Right, yeah. If they don't show, they are at default. Wait, quote, the respondent may be entitled to a new hearing. If this is the case, you will be notified by ECB on how to proceed. Now, does this get you or doesn't this get you? So it becomes my responsibility to pay for everything, to go there a couple of times, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Oh, goodness gracious. This is, I can't say only in New York, but I'm sure there are problems everywhere. Now, I don't know what's happening here. Why isn't, you know what I'm going to do? Okay. Hang on, because I don't understand why, because I'm waiting for the other caller. Let me see what happens when I call in. I'm going to use my cell phone and call in and see. Here, let's see. 6 4 7 8 0 0 7 7 talk. See if my phone number comes up on here. Okay, I'm pressing 1 to speak to the host. Well, okay, my phone number came up. All right, so my phone number came up, so I don't see why people are not calling in. Okay. All right, well, why is it that people... All right, well... I ain't going to wait around. I'm going to end the show early. I'm going to end the show early tonight and go watch some TV, and maybe we can get these people next week or maybe not invite them back. Not sure what I'm doing next week. It'll all to be announced. Still waiting for the date of when I'm going to go up to Seneca Falls. Something, because I got an email. Let me go back into this email that I want to read, but let's see. Okay. Let's open this up. Okay. This has to do, and I'll probably talk about this again when I'm up there at the National Women's Hall of Fame. Are you looking for a unique way to honor an extraordinary woman in your life? Now through April 30th, 2009, you can purchase a Book of Lives and Legacies from the National Women's Hall of Fame for the special price of $75. And by the way, it's usually $100. Submit the story of the woman you are honoring for a chance to win two complimentary sets of tickets to our next induction weekend on October 10th and 11th, 2009. The author of the most moving story will be selected as the winner and will be announced on Women's Equality Day, August 26, 2009. And before I give you the information on who to call and whatever. Now, so you understand what this is. With the purchase, when you buy this thing called the Book of Lives and Legacies, what you receive, okay, two engraved plaques, one displayed at the Hall's gallery and one to give to the woman you are honoring. The opportunity to submit the story of the woman you are honoring. Stories will be displayed in the Hall's gallery and online at the website www.greatwomen.org. And also a complimentary one-year membership to the National Women's Hall of Fame. Members receive quarterly newsletters, advance notice of special events, and member pricing at those events, free admission to the hall, and a 10% discount in the hall's on-site and online gift shops. Now, the offer ends April 30th. Now, you can either go to the website of www.greatwomen.org or call area code 315-568-8060. Now, why don't you keep in mind, $75 was really inexpensive if you're thinking about, if you want to honor a woman in your life. It could be someone who could have been a grandmother and she's deceased. It doesn't matter. And you can have a group of people do this. And so what's happening is you can see, you can get different people to write different things. I think you can put about maybe three pages of stuff. So you can get you can do it for a family, for a friend, for a loved one, for an unloved one. Hey, I'll do it and make one humorous. But anyway, so I wanted to let you know about that. Because that's a bargain. So, well, I'm going to leave you all. I had enough of chatting. Where is my thing? And I know that Mallory, my cat, is probably pissed at me. Who knows? Look at that. Now, wait a minute. Reem?
Yes. Hello?
Yeah.
Hi.
You're just calling in now?
I called in about 5 minutes ago.
Oh, okay. I was just about to end the show because I was waiting at 8 o'clock. Anyway, let's do a quick chat.
Okay.
I don't have as much time. I want to tell people what is pure tea?
Pure tea. Well, pure tea comes from the tea plant, the Camellia sinensis plant, which grows mostly in southeastern Asia, in China, India, Sri Lanka, Taiwan, Vietnam, Japan, and from that one tea leaf, you get 2,000 to 3,000 types of tea, which basically constitutes white, green, oolong, and black tea, and then you have pu'er tea, which I think you're referring to. Pu'er tea is a different type of tea, different category of tea, which is basically fermented tea. It's tea that's been ripened and turned and piled into heaps And in that process, it ferments and yields more antioxidants than green tea, and also a rich, bold, earthy, malty taste. So it has a lot of health properties. It's fermented and has a very deep, bold, kind of almost looks like coffee. It's so dark.
I'm having some right now, by the way. I have the mint one.
Oh, good. So, yeah, we're launching, Numi's launching a four pu'er blend, a Emperor's pu'er, which is a straight pu'er, and then the mint, which is a pu'er green tea, and then a magnolia pu'er and a chocolate pu'er, which is absolutely delicious.
Oh, yeah. I love that one.
Yeah.
That was really good. And so, in other words, this is just a different type of tea plant. Is that And also because of the way it's processed as well. Is that what it is?
Exactly. Well, it's still the same tea plant. One of the differences is that it's picked from the old wild tea trees. So tea back in the day, over 2,000 years ago, used to grow on tea trees, tall tea trees. And then they started to prune them into bushes. But pu'er is still picked from old wild tea trees. So it makes it a little different in that sense. The taste is different. The health properties are different because it's on a tree. And then again, it's processed differently. Most tea is oxidized while pu'er is fermented.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
So when you say fermented, what does that mean that it's fermented?
It basically, when something is fermented, it changes its properties, and the properties get augmented. Like they don't break down as most things would. Oxidation will break down properties. Fermentation will change the property of that substance. So pu'er, what they will do is they'll pile the leaves into heaps, and then they'll moisten them, and then they'll turn the leaves every 10 days. And so the process takes about 2 months for this turning and ripening and what they call cooking. They're basically cooking the leaves to turn from green to black. And so that's kind of the fermentation process of pu'er. And then what they do after that, after it's been cooked, they will compress them into cakes and then age them in caves. And like wine, the longer it's aged, the better it gets in taste, in flavor, in medicinal properties, and also in price and value. So it gets more expensive the longer it's aged.
Now, if I was tasting, let's say, a green tea, you know, regular green tea, and I had the green
pu'er.
Pu'er.
Mm-hmm.
Would I taste a difference?
Oh, yes, of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to do that. I'm going to have to make up a batch of different teas. Maybe I'll have a tea party at home.
Yeah.
A tea tasting.
Yeah, the green tea will taste more grassy and vegetal.
Mm-hmm.
And the pu'er is a little sweeter. The green pu'er is more sweeter and deeper tasting.
Okay. Yeah, so why, like, because you were at this event, what makes this green, so to speak?
Well, the tea is organic, so it's organically grown, which means that there's no pesticides sprayed on the leaves, there's no chemical fertilizers used. So in that sense, the earth is clean, at least for 3 years. A farm has to be non-chemically contaminated in order for it to be organic. So in that sense, it's green. The workers aren't affected by the residues from the chemicals, so the workers are in a healthy environment. And then that's mostly, I mean, we're, you know, kind of considered a more sustainable company because we use recycled packaging and we use a lot of post-consumer waste in our packaging and we purchase organic tea, and a lot of our teas are also fair trade certified, which means that the workers are paid a fair wage and there's no child labor. So it incorporates various forms of sustainability, whether it's lifting people out of poverty and making sure that they, you know, that they have a sustainable lifestyle, and we're not just depleting and using resources. That's kind of an old model of working, and shifting that model to be a little bit more responsible.
Okay.
And that's why it's considered green, in a nutshell.
Yeah. Eco-friendly now, as we call them things now.
Yeah.
By the way, so you all decided to hang in New York and not go back to California yet, huh?
Yeah, for a couple more days. Yeah.
I hear background. Are you someplace that you're having dinner? Or you just
I'm sorry. We're having dinner.
No, that's okay. I'm just curious.
Yeah.
Like, are you at a restaurant?
We're at a restaurant called Devi. It's an Indian restaurant on 18th Street. So far, it's amazing food.
Devi's,
yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry that I didn't steer you to. I did this whole article on a restaurant called Kernima.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of Gordon Ramsay's, you know, nightmare restaurant that he does. So I did this whole thing because he went, this is a place that he cleaned up. So they did this whole thing there, and then they followed up like a year later. And I have to tell you, so far it's the best Indian food that I've had at any restaurant. So,
oh, wow.
So
I'll have to go there.
In case if you're still around and you want to go to another Indian restaurant, Pernima is on West 54th Street.
Okay.
Okay.
Close
but
to
anyway.
Where we're staying.
To kind of get back to this, let's quickly go through what is the difference between tea and herbal tea or tisane, to let people know.
Right. So tea, like I said, comes from the Camellia sinensis plant, and that yields white, green, oolong, black tea, and pu'er tea. And then tisanes, we call them tisanes, are basically herbals. So chamomile, mint, rosemary, sage, echinacea, anything that will grow in your garden, and there's millions of different types of herbs around the world, and they will steep them in hot water and create a hot herbal beverage. And it's a Latin or French word, tisane, and it basically means brewed herbal beverage. So it doesn't come technically from the tea plant, which grows mostly in Southeastern Asia.
So in other words, it's either a fruit type thing or a
flower
thing.
Or an herb, exactly. Fruits, flowers, herbs.
Okay. Yeah. And what is the thing with rooibos now?
So rooibos is an herb from South Africa, and a lot of times you'll hear it named red bush tea. But rooibos it grows in South Africa. It goes right near Cape Town, and it's a thistled bush. And basically, it's just dried and then steeped in hot water, and it yields kind of a red-like color. And it also yields a sort of earthy vanilla taste. And rooibos is an herb that has a lot of health properties. In South Africa, they call it the miracle tea, because it soothes the nervous system, so it's a relaxant. It's very rich in antioxidants. It helps with allergies. Helps with it's an antispasmodic, so if you have any stomach cramps, it'll really help with that. It also helps with colic in infants. Sorry, I hope you can hear me. It does a million things. Hay fever, it helps with that. Rashes, they use it in skincare lines that I've seen both in South Africa and here in the States, because it helps topically for skin. So,
wow.
Very different. We actually, Numi introduced it about 9 years ago to America, and now it's become a big trend in the herbal kind of herbal tea world.
Yeah, do you know what the plant actually looks like?
It's like a bush. It's a green bush, and like I said, it's almost like looks like a rosemary bush.
And I'm not sure. When I was on a press trip in South Africa, and actually that's the first time I had rooibos tea. I bought a box to take it home, and I thought, oh my God, what am I going to do when I run out of this huge box of tea? I'll never have it again. Mm-hmm. Thank goodness it got introduced. But I remember we stopped at some place, and it could have been this thing, this plant. And, like, I guess it was kind of like a sort of a fruit or something that I was able to taste.
Oh, I don't
wondering
know.
whether this is actually looks like any sort of fruit, you know, in the first place.
No, I haven't seen it as a fruit. I mean, the picture, I haven't seen it live, but I've seen pictures of it. And I haven't seen that it bears fruit. I think it has flowers. It has, like, yellowish flowers, but
mm-hmm.
I haven't seen a fruit grow from it.
Okay.
So
then I guess I'll never know what it is I taste.
Could have been something else that they drink.
Yeah. Who knows? They just say, hey, Amira, okay, who wants to taste this? I will. I'll taste it.
Uh-huh.
So are you going to come out? Are you looking at any other new lines of tea, by the way?
No, I think Pu'er is what we're doing right now. We're going to stick to that for a year or so.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how that goes. Yeah.
Okay, that's really great. I'm going to let you get back to dinner. Did you finish, or did I interrupt you for?
No, we're okay. Dessert? I'm okay. We're in the middle of it, but I really appreciate you two doing the interview, and thank you for that.
Okay. All right, I'll be in touch with you, and thanks for
okay.
calling in.
Thanks, Merle.
All right, take
okay.
care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, my thing is going to end, so I'm just...